Welcome back to another thrilling episode of Phone Show Chat. This is number 872, and it's the tail end of October. It's Monday the 27th, and it's 9 p.m. We have Joe and I have a guest this week, Scott Brady from America, and I'm afraid that we had a bit of a cock-up, didn't we, Scott, about changing clocks. Poor Scott's been waiting for the last hour to start, and we, of course, our clocks changed. I'm really sorry, Scott.
That's no problem. I'm still happy to be here. Thank you.
Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I forgot that the clock's pulled back as well. Silly me.
Toying with the American, I know.
So it's 5 p.m. in the good old U.S. of A. Scott, whereabouts in the good old U.S. of A are you? And just a little bit about yourself and what you do for a living, if anything, and how old and that sort of thing.
I am in the southeast U.S., the state of North Carolina, right about center of the state. And I grew up in the northeast part in New Jersey, but I've been living here for 30, 35 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I am 64. I manage a small sort of technical IT kind of group. So I've been doing that forever and I enjoy it. And I work for an insurance company and we handle things like premium rates and eligibility and underwriting. So it's boring for a lot of folks, but it's a lot of fun on the tech side of it. So I enjoy it.
Good. Okay. Right. We'll come to the tech side in just a minute. Yep. Just to do a bit of furniture here, phoneshowchat.uk with two S's in the middle is our website. Don't forget. You can head for our MeWe group. And if you get lost with any of that or our other audio podcasts, you can find all of that at either PodHub UK or tedsalmon.com. Joe, before we head for guest Scala, and Scott, what's the latest with the pub meet? Anything new?
Yes, it's not long now, is it? It's the last reminder. It's this Saturday the 1st, and yeah. I'll be around London around 12 for lunch. I'm going to go to a Spoons. I've decided to go with Chad Dixon's recommendation of the Penderel's Oak, which is near Holborn Station. So if it's rubbish, we can blame him. Everyone is welcome whenever. I'll be looking to shoot around five-ish, though. But if you want to stay and get drunk, you can do that, guys.
Did anything come of the photo walk?
The photo walk, no one seemed that interested. They just want to go pub. Okay.
Yeah. You might. I guess you could get a flight over, Scott, no problem.
I'm sure I could, but it's a pretty long trip just to do a few hours at the pub meet. So I'll have to wait till it's a full weekend. Maybe.
You could do one in America. We'll hold you to it. Right. Okay. Scott, over to you. Let's hear about the new method of PSC and the new look is to put the guest on right top and center. And we come to the news and stuff like that and our other device stuff after. So you can take as long as you like, basically. So tell us all about it, where you want to take it, what you want to talk about, and we'll fit in around you.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd give you a brief phone history. I know a lot of folks like to do that. Probably too many for me to remember all of them. But it's funny. I started with I don't know if you're familiar with them, but the phone in the bag that used to be in the car. I remember when a car I bought in the 90s, they offered me a phone with it. I said, sure, I'll take it. And it didn't even have a battery. You just plugged it into the cigarette lighter, and it was a car phone. That's how you used it. But after that, you know, I had a lot of LG and Motorola flip phones and Samsung flip phones and enjoyed all of those. Had a lot of different phones. I think my first smartphone was probably a Palm Treo. Enjoyed that. Had the little stylus, and it was pretty nice. Big, chunky thing with this chunky, stubby antenna on it. And then I moved on to some Windows Mobile smartphones. I remember, anybody remembers the Motorola Q, and there was a Samsung flip phone, some Pocket PC phones. I think I had a Samsung. It had a slider keyboard on it, which the sliding mechanism I did not like because it never would stay closed. after those, I have a few years on BlackBerry devices. The Pearl, I actually had a Pearl flip phone. Probably my favorite was the BlackBerry Curve. It was a good size, and the keyboard was big enough to type comfortably on.
Are you going to get access to this forthcoming Titan 2 thingy, which a couple of people have ordered in our group, or is that not an American availability?
It is available, and I've kind of lost interest. I think on-screen keyboards are pretty good. Voice-to-text is really good. I don't really have that desire to have a physical keyboard on my phone anymore, so I will skip that one.
I tend to agree.
Yeah. And shortly after using BlackBerry for a few years, I got my first Android phone probably 2010, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was I remember we called them here the HTC Droid series. They were with Verizon. I don't know if they were called the same thing in Europe, but it was a Droid Eris, and that was my first Android phone. I loved HTCs. I had several of those. There was an Eris. There was an Eris 2. Then I moved on to some Samsungs and LGs.
Oh, that's and, I think that's the Desire. I just looked at a picture of
maybe.
Maybe
so, yeah. There was an Incredible, too. It was a Credible I liked as well.
Recently
I tried, for the first time, about a year or two ago, I tried a OnePlus phone, and I really did like it. The only reason I didn't stay with it was the camera in good lighting. Like if I was outdoors taking photos, it was every bit as good as any picture I would take with a Pixel. In as soon as you got less than great lighting, they just kind of lost it. You couldn't get focus, and it was just hard to use that camera once the lighting wasn't very good.
How long ago was that?
But what are we on? The 15? Is that what was just announced? I think it was either a 12 or a 13. It was recent as that.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I hadn't heard that the cameras were dodgy. Had you, Joe?
Well, the 12 was really, really good. It wasn't as good in lower light, so I do agree, compared to some of the others, because their processing isn't quite as good. But in good light, it was fantastic. You know,
the funny thing with it is when I really noticed it, are we back? I think we got lost.
Yeah, we got lost. I can hear you again now.
Okay. The funny thing with the OnePlus is when I really noticed the photos being a problem was when I was trying to take photos of a Pixel I was going to sell to keep the OnePlus. And I could not get focus close up on the Pixel. I thought, well, okay, there's my test. I think I'll have to get rid of the OnePlus now. Ted, I know, like you are, I was a big Motorola fan, especially for the original X and some of those older phones. So I had a bunch of those.
Yep.
And if anybody remembers the Essential phone, I actually had that too.
Oh, yeah.
I did spend some time with iPhones. I did have an iPhone as a work device, and then I actually bought one or two of them, used them for a little while. Never lasted too long on them. I always... For me, there are a few things I can't do with iOS that I can easily do with Android and Windows that are kind of deal breakers for me. The hardware is always nice. I just there are some things it won't do for me. And I know I've had some discussions on the MeWe group in the past about, can I even do this? And as it turns out, things like certain ways to copy files and things, I just can't do them. So for those reasons, I kind of backed off the iPhones.
You're talking you're talking Joe's language there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And as anyone who's read any of my MeWe posts would know, I'm pretty much a Pixel user for the past several years. I will occasionally sprinkle a Samsung or like the OnePlus in there, but generally it's been Pixel. And right now I'm using a Pixel 9 Pro. I also have a Pro XL, which I bought because the Pro wasn't available. So I bought the XL because I had already gotten used to the larger phones. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just get this, and maybe I'll just try the smaller one when it comes out. And now I never use the bigger one. The smaller one is just so much better. I just like it so much more that I just never use the large one anymore. It's kind of a backup phone. I have it on a second line, and I use it for – I keep it on a different carrier this way. If I ever lose signal on one, I always have the other. But it's really just a spare for me.
So the nine Pro, differently to my nine, has got the 5x optical zoom, which I've got on my original generation Pixel Fold, haven't I? So that's the difference.
Yes, and I use that 5x zoom quite often. I will, if I'm taking something like a portrait type picture, I will always use the 5x and then step back to get the zoom I want. Mm-hmm. I either use 1x, 2x, or I go to the 5 and you know, move myself back and forth, because it seems to be once you start zooming away from the 5x, you're losing quality. But the 5x often is too close, but if I step back, I can usually get what I want. So, but I do like that 5x lens.
And the difference between that and the XL is just physically, I mean, most of it's just physically bigger. It's still got the 5x zoom, hasn't it?
Yes, all the same cameras, all the same features. It's just bigger battery, bigger screen, and that's the only thing.
Okay.
So that's really it. And this is the first time, I mentioned the Pixels. This is the first time in years I didn't just buy the new one. Because anytime the Pixel announcements came along, I was just automatically pre-ordering because I knew I wanted it. This time I waited a little bit after, reading the leaks, which are all over the place for months ahead of time when it comes to Pixels. And I listened to watched some of the quick looks and then some of the reviews later, and thought I didn't really see a reason to upgrade. And that's kind of strange for me, but I didn't. Not to say I won't eventually get one, but right now, unless it's a great price, I probably will stick with the 9 for a while. I don't really see the reason to go for the 10, unless someone else knows of something that might be of interest to me. I just didn't see it there.
There's a couple of... go on, Joe.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think you've made a good decision, really. There's not a great deal there that would make me want to upgrade from 9 Pro, to be honest. I don't know what you think, Ted.
Well, there's a couple of software things that are exclusive to the 10 at the moment. And I'm going to try and remember what they are now.
And Joe, I figured if there was anything to know about the 10, you'd probably know it too, because I imagine you get your hands on these things just as soon as they're available.
I haven't touched one, to be honest. But I think you're absolutely right, and Joe's right, that there's not a huge amount of difference, which is why an awful lot of people are not, they're skipping the year like, we used to, like a lot of people used to, and they're going to go straight to the 11 or whatever's next. But I'm trying to now tread water to remember what these software things are. Someone will write in and tell us, no doubt. But
well, you got the best take, haven't you, which is automatic now, which is a nice feature, because whereas the 9 Pro, you have to go in and select the smiles on each person, don't you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's automatic now, which is quite a nice feature. Hardware wise you've got the Pixel Snap, haven't you, which I mean,
of course,
it's nice, but it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah, really. And considering I don't really use a wireless charger. I plug my phone in for about an hour and a half in the evening, and that's it. Since I don't use the wireless charger, the Pixel Snap really wouldn't make a difference to me anyway.
Yeah,
and they've ripped out the. Or did you already not have a physical SIM card in the 9 in America?
That's another reason. We still have SIM cards on the 9 series. But they're gone on the 10s.
Yep. So it's Hobson's choice, as we would say. You have to swallow it up, and that's really annoying. I would be really annoyed by that. The slightly bigger battery. I've now got the specs in front of me, and slightly faster wireless charging. But there's really not an awful lot in it. If you look down the spec list, it's very, very similar, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, and really, even the look is exactly the same. I think the camera bar is a little bit wider, mm-hmm. They haven't even really adjusted the look, and the specs look pretty much the same. And again, there was nothing on anyone's review that made me say, "Well, I've really got to try one of these." So no. I didn't bother with it. But I will say, there's a discussion about battery health and charging and how you should do it and charge between 20 and 80%, and don't let it go to 100%. You know, there's opinion. There are opinions all over the place. Well, I've I've never really subscribed to. The only thing I've ever really kept tabs on is don't leave it plugged in all the time, or you know, for hours and hours at a time. So my typical habit is I'll use maybe half the battery during the day, maybe a little more, a little less, depends on the day. I'll plug it in the evening before I go to bed, charges to 100, and I'm good till the next day. So I've been doing that since I got the phone. And when I look at the battery health, it still says 100% on it. So I think as long as that's good, then keeping it for at least another year is probably no big deal. So I think I'll just use it for a while until something really pulls me away.
The trouble is making it last 7 years. That's the trick. And the person after you that has it. But, you know, they're making available replacement batteries. So, you know, this and Apple users have been used to getting replacement batteries after 3 or 4 years. I recently bought an iPhone 14 Pro Max from someone, and the battery health was down to 81%. Not a big problem for me, as Steve pointed out at the time, because I don't intend to use it as day to day, but that was 3 years old. And as Steve said to me, that that's perfectly acceptable to expect that to be the case. So I think everyone is geared up for saying, if you're going to abuse the battery and not look after it perfectly, then you'll get a new battery.
Yes, and for you, it's not really a problem, because I think generally before your battery dies, you're putting your SIM in a different phone anyway, so it's no big deal for you.
Yeah, no, that's quite right. I did notice the other day, I've got the Pixel tablet here, and I did notice the other day that it will not let me charge it to 100%.
Is that a setting, or it just won't do it?
It just won't do it. No, it's a set. There's no setting to bypass the 80% thing, so it will only let users charge it to 80%, whatever you do. Even if you put a cable in and don't use the dock, that's it. It's forcing you to look after the battery.
That's so strange.
It's strange.
Very odd.
I can't imagine them forcing you to do it, but
But it's very nice, the Pixel, and I've got it on the Pixel tablet, and I've got it on the beta, you know, the QPR beta, the same as the phone.
Yes.
And I'm very impressed with your next topic, which is the M3E. I really, really like it. Do tell us about your thoughts on that.
Yes. As far as the betas, as we call them in America, I used to load some of those on a spare phone, and I really shied away from those. And I just wait until the release comes out. Ted, I know you load them all as soon as they're available. So it's always good to get your idea of what's coming. And this way I have some anticipation there.
Well, one thing that might be coming is 80% charging forced.
Yeah. I hope not. You know, 80% charging is great if it's like some of these Chinese phones. Like if you're getting 2 or 3 days out of the battery, then 80% is fine. But, you know, when you're getting a day and using half or more of the battery, I don't want to stop at 80.
No, that's only the tablet, because my phone, my Pixel 9, is also on the QPR beta, and that's okay with 100. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. As far as the changes they've made for the material through Expressive, I like them. And the first thing I did when it loaded on my phone was I went to the quick toggles, because I never really liked the way they were for the past couple of iterations. But now I went to all of them and I shrunk them down to half size. And I would do it every time. If I wanted to go to the Bluetooth settings, I would have to tap and hold it just to turn it on or off. And then this other menu would come up, and it was just a pain. Yeah. But now I can, you know, just tap it to turn it on and off and hold it to go in there and make settings. So I really like some of those changes they've done. The icons are generally pretty good, so I don't really need the text on there. And I put them where I put them, so I kind of know what's where and what's there. So I really don't need the text. So I do like being able to make them smaller and fit more on one screen. I think a little used feature, and I'm assuming this is a similar feature to the Dynamic Island on an iPhone, but these live notifications, I've got one app that uses them, and it's an app. I guess that's the problem with the iPhones too, is someone's got to use them. But there's an app I use all the time for paying for parking when I'm downtown and I park at a parking meter or just anywhere, really. And it used to be I would pay for the parking, go where I'm going, and I would get a text message or like a push notification from the app telling me how much time I have left in my on the parking meter. But now I've got this, a persistent notification, and it just has a, the timer counting down. Anytime I look at my phone, it's right there. And I'm not much for all of that, a lot of information being just thrown at me all the time. But to me, this is the perfect use of that kind of feature, because parking is something that I'm going to forget that I've only paid for an hour. And an hour and a half later, I'm going to walk to my car and there'll be a ticket on it or something. So this is a, to me, this is a great use of that feature. So it's just, anytime I look, it just tells me, yeah, you got to extend your parking or you got to go get your car out of there. So that was pretty good too.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that's really neat. The trouble is that it relies on developers to start baking it in. Yeah. Samsung are doing it a little bit better. Even, I mean, what you're just describing will also happen on a Samsung Galaxy Watch, for example. You don't even need to look at your phone. You've now got a Now bar on your Galaxy Watch, which is really cool. But it relies on, give you an example, the bar at the, whatever it's called, the Dynamic Island, live on OnePlus, they call it live something or other. And there's only one application where it will echo what music is playing up there, and which is just rubbish. I found that the one that it works with is Spotify, which means you've got to install Spotify. But I did, yeah. But I did find that VLC worked with some restrictions. But again, it's these Dynamic Islands and other stuff like that are really, really good ideas. But it's just taking forever to kick them off. And I don't know if that's true of Apple and iPhone. I don't use them. But certainly in the Android world, it's just taking a long time, isn't it?
Yes. And any time I've listened to a podcast where Dynamic Island comes up in the conversation, the first comment is, it's great to have, but not enough developers are using it for things. And I don't know if that still is the case, but those are the only comments I've heard about it. Yeah. And now that I can sort of see an example of it on an Android phone, it seems like a great idea. Mm. And it would be nice to get put it to more use, but not just throw stuff in there. You know, really, really a good use of it is nice.
Does the live notification show on the always on display as well? Or
I don't use always on my phone, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's a good question.
It does on a Samsung, but on a Pixel. The trouble with the Pixel is that there are so few supported things on the Pixel. I never, ever see it in action. I suppose if I was doing what you're doing and going out to car parks and going on trips to use maps and all the rest of it, and I don't even have a car, you see, Scott, but I actually never see it working. So I'm glad that you do.
yeah, and I was surprised. I didn't expect it, but I was surprised, and I appreciated it. It was really good. And some of the other stuff. Now I'm sure I haven't seen a lot of what's going on with Material 3 Expressive, and I never have been a big into theming and like icon packs and all that kind of stuff. But I keep very little on my home screen. Other than a picture of you know, anybody who, again, has seen my pictures, has seen my Doberman. So I keep him on there.
Very handsome.
And just a couple of icons. He is a handsome boy, I know.
He is, definitely.
But so I and of course, I have two icons on there. One is Pocket Casts and one's the camera. And the Pocket Cast is a bright red icon. And it was just kind of taking away from the photo. So I used that Material 3 Expressive to have the icons blend in. And the icons now, are the two icons at the bottom, look exactly like the Google bar at the bottom. And they just kind of fade away so I can still get to them when I want them. But it's not this big red icon sticking out. So I did kind of appreciate that. Again, I won't go theming everything, but I do like these little touches where you're able to just tweak things to get them out of the way, or I guess if you want, you know, bring them forward and have them be noticed. In my case, I wanted to get them out of the way, and they were really good for that.
That's incredibly minimalist, isn't it? I mean, presumably if you want to open any other apps, you have them in your app tray, or do you have pages to the right?
No, I just swipe up and go to the app tray for right. anything else mm-hmm. I want. Yeah. Wow. The only real quick things I want is the camera and Pocket Cast. I typically get from the notification pull down because if any media are playing, you know, there's that carousel thing that you can.
Yeah.
But I noticed since the latest update, the carousel doesn't always work well. So sometimes I have to launch Pocket Cast either from the app tray, and that was getting to be tedious. So that's why I put it on the home screen. Otherwise, it would just have been the camera there. But I have noticed if I have, for example, YouTube Music and Pocket Casts in that carousel, when I go to swipe right to get to Pocket Cast, it kind of sticks halfway, and I can't get to the play button. And it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't always do it. And I don't know if it's just my phone or the update or what it is, but it's a little bit of a pain there. So that's why I put it on the home screen. Yes,
okay.
I don't like people out there.
Very nice.
I think now, Ted, you have a Pixel Watch 3, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
How do you like yours?
I love it. I think it's great, and I do not feel the need to buy a 4. But was that going to be the point of what you were saying?
No. I remember you put those side-by-side pictures out on MeWe, and frankly, in those pictures, I couldn't tell the difference either.
No, and someone actually, on further analysis, thinks that picture was both Pixel Watch 3s. There wasn't a 4 there at all. So it was a bit of
a
mystery, yeah.
And I've been wearing a smartwatch for several years now, but I did get a Pixel Watch 3 mm-hmm. and used it probably for a month or a little more than that. And I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. But I did switch back to my Garmin. I've been using Garmin's for a while. And really the reasons for that, you know, the Pixel Watch 3 got me through a day just fine. There were really few times when it wouldn't. What I did find was it was an LTE watch, and if I used LTE on it, it would just rip through the battery. So I ended up just turning off the data line and not bothering with the LTE. When I was walking at night with my dog, and I was streaming a podcast through the LTE on the Pixel Watch, and I think in about 10 minutes, I went through like 25% of the battery, and it was just... So it was really just not worth even trying to use.
Right.
But on my Garmin, you know, anybody who's got a Garmin always, you know, you always hear people talking about the battery life on a Garmin. So yeah, it's good. And I do like not having to charge it all, you know, every night. So it's nice. I can go through several days and I have the AOD on and not have to worry about it, whether I'm using GPS or not. And it's lighter. It's more comfortable. I like the bands better. I really don't like the Pixel Watch band. I know I could get replacement bands, but I wasn't going to buy bands just when I'm trying it out because they are proprietary and I couldn't use them on anything else. So I'm not crazy about those bands, the way they tuck in, they kind of irritate my wrist.
You can get lugs now, Scott.
That's true. Yeah.
You can actually buy the lugs with a little bar. Then you can put whatever strap you want on. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I did also notice that while it was fairly comfortable, it's heavier, the Pixel Watch 3, than my Garmin watch. And I just think the Garmin watch, mine's a Venue. I had a Venue 3, and now I have a Venue 4. I just think that, to me, they look better. The Pixel Watch 3, to me, looks like a round Apple Watch. It's kind of just a glass mushroom, and I'm just not really crazy about the look of it. So, but I do love the way it integrates with Android, because almost anything you could do on your phone, you could do from the watch. And I found that to be cool, because on a Garmin watch, I can do some things, but I can't do the same things I can as if I were using a Wear OS watch. So that was nice, but I was willing to make the trade off to go back to the Garmin, because I can still pay. I use Garmin Pay to pay for anything, track all my, you know, all the same statistics. One odd thing I found about the Pixel Watch is the activities I track are typically yoga, strength training, walking outdoors, and if it's bad weather, I'll walk on a treadmill. And all of those activities are synced from my Garmin Connect to Strava. Strava. I think most people use Strava as kind of a repository to push stuff to, which is what I use it for as well. And when I was using the Pixel Watch, only if I was doing a GPS activity would it get synced over to Garmin. So really, out of four different activities, only one would go out there. So if you want to use Strava as your end place to put your stuff, I don't know if it's all Wear OS watches, but a Pixel Watch is not going to do it for you. So it's just something to note if that's what you're after. I guess it's Fitbit that won't do it. I'm not sure where the problem is or if it's by design, but
it must be by design. I think they want you to go to their apps, don't they? Yeah.
So it was just kind of odd.
The Health Connect back end was supposed to be fixing all these sorts of things, wasn't it? But perhaps it's just bedding in still.
You know, I put Health Connect on my phone, and I'm really not sure what it does for me. I thought the same thing you just said, and I don't know what it's doing for me. It doesn't seem to be helping me out in any way.
It's supposed to be sharing data around, as I understand it. We need Malcolm to deep dive on this, but I think it replaced Google Fit as a go-between, and developers can develop their applications to talk to Health Connect, send the data, and then other applications can pick the data from it and use the data. That's as I understand it.
So maybe with that, it would be up to Strava to write something to go get the data. When most others are pushing to Strava. So it could just be that I didn't understand what it's supposed to do. Okay. But I do know it has a lot of data. But for me, it really wasn't not helping out much. Mm-hmm. You know, I read and I hear of a lot of folks using a lot of great phones, Chinese phones.
Oh, yeah.
And things that I would love to use. And, you know, none of that stuff makes it over here. So I think is it Gavin who's been taking these pictures with, is it a Xiaomi he's using? I can't remember which phone
he's using. Yeah, he likes his Xiaomis.
Yeah, he likes his Xiaomis. And I see such great photos and, you know, the incredible battery life and, is it carbon? So I can't remember which kind of batteries it, but Google, Apple, you know, they won't use those kind of
Samsung. Silicon carbon.
They're just, you know, they're not convinced that's the way to go, I guess. And maybe eventually they'll come around. And I don't know if fast charging is affected in the U.S. because of the lower voltage electricity we use. You know, it's 220 where you are, I guess it's 110 here. So maybe it can't charge at as high a wattage, or maybe it's a little more dangerous for higher wattages. So we know we don't really get fast charging either. But a lot of those phones.
I remember that. I would love to try them. Yeah, I remember that was an issue with OnePlus, wasn't it? Where the rest of the world got 120 watt charging, and in America it was topped at 80, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's the. If that would have be the problem, just it's a lower voltage service. You call it mains, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd argue 80 is more than you need anyway. A good number.
Yeah, I'm charging off of probably a 30 watt Pixel brick, and my phone charges up in an hour or so. So it's not so bad for me, but it's also not, you know, a 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 milliamp hour battery. It's, you know, 5,000 or slightly less.
What's nice though about all of that is if you get stuck, if you forget to charge your phone, it's nice to know it's got a whacking great big capacity in it that'll get you through day two. Or if you are having a really, really heavy day of activity, doing lots of stuff with your phone, you can really quickly charge it up and get back going again. So I'm certainly in the group of people where I don't need that on a day-to-day basis, but I can see why now and again it might be very, very handy.
So it looks like if I find a phone I want to try, Ted, you'll buy it for me and ship it to me is what I'm getting.
Yay. No problem at all. I know that that Joe's had less success with trying to do that, but I've done that with someone in America before, and it seemed to work out fine. Yeah, it was, you know, we organized the secure FedEx or whatever it was, and it seemed to work. It was quite expensive to do, but it's certainly possible. As long as you've got, you need to make sure you've got the right bands, though, don't you?
Yes, and that's who's really knowledgeable on that is I listen to some of Miriam Jouar's podcasts because she knows which phones work on which bands.
Right.
She said, in general, I hear usually say global versions will generally work on T-Mobile, which is my carrier.
Right.
So it sounds like if I could just find a global version of one of these phones, it most likely is going to work on what I or work for what I needed to. I don't need millimeter wave. I don't, you know. So I think in general, I could probably just pick any global version. So I'll have to learn a little bit more about those and see if there's one I actually want. And then maybe we could work something out.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a shout. I'm quite happy to do that. Although you're skeptical, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's just the cost of it. It is quite costly to send it.
Right.
So I've discussed it with Sam before on Nomad Tech Project. I do feel for you guys in the US because I know there's loads of stuff that Sam would love to try as well coming out of China. But they are getting so much better with the software because people do poo-poo on the software sometimes, but they are getting so much better on that respect as well. So, yeah, it's a shame you can't try them.
So do you feel for us enough that you'll pay for the shipping for me?
Yeah, I think I'm warming up to it, definitely.
Okay. I'll have to pick something good then.
Yeah.
And let me see. I see. What's your note?
Oh, you were going to talk about Honor, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to talk about the Pixels I've had. Like, I mean, I did have Pixel 5. Then I was told to try a flagship Pixel. So I had a 4 XL for a little while, which I got unclassified. And then I went to the 6 Pro, 7 Pro, 8 Pro. And I recently got the 9 Pro XL last year, which I shouldn't have done because my SIM only went in it for a few weeks until I got the Honor Magic V3. Fell in love with that. Then I got the Honor Magic 7 Pro, and I've been on ever since. I do think Pixels have amazing cameras, lovely screens. The speakers are great. I really do like Pixel Launcher. It's nice and fluid, basic for my silly brain. But I've just found I've got a little bit bored of it, I think, and that's why I moved away. But I'd still recommend Pixels to people all the time. I think the one thing I do miss is now playing, but it's, obviously that's not life-changing, but it's a nice feature. I mean, what features do you like?
A lot of people love that now playing feature. I don't use that a lot myself, but it's really nice to have when you want it. And the 5, you mentioned 5A, I guess, is what you're talking about. The 5A was one of my favorite Pixel models. It just, the size and the feel and that kind of grainy or sandy kind of finish on the back and that back fingerprint sensor. I liked the way they did that phone. So that was one of my favorites. But for me, some of the reasons I stick with the Pixels is mainly the cameras. I feel like with a Pixel, I'm probably going to get a decent picture, even if I really don't have the skill to do it right. I know sometimes I can tap the screen, I can turn on the brightness and the shadows and the white balance on the screen. But a lot of times, I may tap the screen to try focusing on something, but I will always take one without me touching the screen as well, because if I mess it up and I let the Pixel do it, it may be better than the shot I get. So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I use them, is because I just feel like I'm going to get a decent shot whether I have the ability to do it or not.
It's very reliable, isn't it, in most conditions?
Yeah, it really is, and generally doesn't require any more tweaking from me. You know, to my eye, occasionally I'll change the contrast a little, or I'll, you know, change the saturation a little bit, and I may make little adjustments to it, but in general, I can just use them as they are when I take the picture. As something you just mentioned, Joe, I do like Google's version of Android. It's pretty simple. There's not a lot of fluff to it. I know stuff has been added to it. I wouldn't even attempt to call it stock Android because it's not, but I do like how simple it is. And it's generally pretty smooth for me. I mean, it runs well for me on just about any phone I've ever had. I also like it on the OnePlus. They have a few nice little additions to it that I liked. And the last time I used a Moto, I can't remember the last one I had. It was probably the G series or G5 or something. But there seem to be pretty well clean interfaces. They don't put a lot of stuff in there either. So those are the types of Androids that I like to use. Another, you know, one reason why I stay with the Pixels. And, you know, I do like the look of it too. When they switched over to that big bar on the Pixel 6, I immediately liked that. In fact, I almost wish they kept that styling to it. You know, I still like the way they look. And it's one of those phones that's recognizable if you're, you know, into recognizing phones. I mean, but I do like the look of them as well. So
you prefer the Geordie LaForge wraparound, did you?
Yes, I did. I did like that. But I wish they would have kept it a little longer, especially when it was all blacked out, like on the Pixel.
Mm.
It was kind of nice. So those are my reasons.
So have you ever considered a flip phone?
I have, and I've had a few of them. I've had a couple of Galaxy Z Flips. I think the last one I had was a 5, and it was nice. I used it for several months. I committed myself to just using it as my main phone, and I really wasn't disappointed using it. Some stuff I could do from the cover. You know, you have to install some good lock modules and stuff, and you could run almost any app from the cover screen. But of course, like any flip, you're not going to get great cameras. Similar to the OnePlus, but not as good. If I was in bright light, I'd get a decent picture. But if you have to zoom it all at all, it's everything goes. It's digital looking, or if there's not a lot of great light. And while I could probably live with a slight compromise in the cameras, the compromise in the cameras was pretty big. But I did have a Flip 2 maybe or 3. I can't remember which one it was. And the battery performance of the 5 compared to the first one I had was night and day. The first one I had would not last me through the day. The Z Flip 5 lasted me through the day. Didn't have a lot left over, but it was a big improvement in the battery. And I always found the screens to be nice. I really don't mind the crease so much. I just thought it was a nice little phone, and you know, people notice them too. It's just one of those things that I don't see them around a lot. I see a few book style foldables, but I don't see a lot of flips.
Mm-hmm.
Had a Moto Razr too, which I didn't keep that very long.
Well, hey,
the camera to me reminded me of pictures I was taking on a 1990s flip phone. It was terrible.
Yeah, they've got better, but they were bad at first.
Yeah
they're slowly getting there.
yeah probably a little too slowly for my liking, but you know, and it was one of those nostalgic things. I figured I'd give it a try. It just didn't last long for me, but I mentioned the book style foldables. I have not had one of those. I do have a Surface Duo 2, but I don't really consider that a foldable. To me, that's just two screens that happen to have a hinge between them, you know, more like a flip phone kind of thing. But that Surface Duo 2, and I know Steve is always messing with his. It's a great piece of hardware. It's one of those things that I just never used. I brought it to work. I would bring it to meetings. I would use it in there a little bit. I kind of used it as a second phone, but now I just never really used it much in the time I've had it. And it was a lot of money to spend for something that didn't get used a lot. So it's probably the only phone purchase that I actually regret making. Every other phone I've bought, no problem. But this one, I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have bought this.
You know what you could do? You could repurpose it into like a gaming machine emulation. That'd be good on it.
Well, probably so if I was a gamer.
Yeah.
but since I don't do that, I'm not sure. What I do use it for, though, is I use it with PhoneLink. So I run MeWe Android app on my Windows PC because I'm not crazy about MeWe's web interface. So most of the time, it's PhoneLinked to my desktop with MeWe. sitting off to the side there or somewhere where I can easily get to it. So I use a little bit for that. I've gotten used to MeWe's webpage, but I still prefer the Android app a little more. So I can use it to run some Android apps if I really want to. But again, it's not critical that I use it. It just happens to be me trying to put this piece of hardware to use and messing around a little bit with PhoneLink as well. What I can't do that I think Ted tried to help me with once is I cannot get the Surface 202's audio to come through my computer. The audio always plays through the phone speakers.
It used to. I think Windows did something to the PhoneLink software to stop it, because when the Surface Duo 2 and the Surface Duo 1 were first out and they were running beautifully with Windows PhoneLink, the audio did work. I'm absolutely sure it did. And then I think they did something to the software to stop it. There you go. I can't prove that because I can't actually fully remember. But talking about desktop stuff, one of the things that I really like, and jumping back to Pixels again, is that you can easily get to desktop URLs with Google. When you're using a Pixel, you can, or indeed Google applications on a phone, you can get to stuff like recorder.google.com. If you're making a recording in the Pixel recording app, as soon as you've done it, you've backed it up, it's there. When you sit down at your computer, you can just go to a URL on a desktop computer and get to it. The same is true of journal.google.com. That's one of the things that they've got on the Pixel 10 that's not on the 9. There you go. There's an example. It's the new journal app for anyone that wants it, but you can't get that on the Pixel 9. Yeah. So journal.google.com, photos.google.com, of course, keep.google.com, and so on. And I just think that's a really, really, for someone that spends so much time in front of their Windows computer and using a Pixel phone, I just think that is a cut above all these other OEMs. They have plenty of other tools, but they don't have this kind of integration with a desktop experience in the same way. And it's not desktop as in Dex, as in Moto's Smart Connect. It's just having websites with your data in it and armed with your Google account and a Pixel phone. I just think it's great for workflow. I use it all the time. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I keep a Google tab in my browser open all the time. It's not always expanded. But inside that tab, Keep, Tasks, and Calendar, news as well, are always open. Mm-hmm. I use those sites all the time. And I occasionally use photos.google.com as well, and music. Occasionally I use Google Home's website. That's mm-hmm. not very functional, but I agree. I love being able to just go in there, do what I want to do, and then I know when I pick up my phone and go, the task is going to be on the phone.
Exactly.
Now, I guess that's not Pixel exclusive. As long as you're using Google Tasks, I guess it's on whatever phone you're using it on.
Yeah.
But still, I love that feature, and I use it all the time for several different desktop apps.
I think that when you've got Pixel exclusive features, though, like Recorder and like Journal, it comes into its own and it just works. You're right. You can do it with any phone, with any Android phone, and presumably with an iPhone as well. I don't know.
Google apps tend to work very well on iPhones.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So do you use any of that stuff, Joe?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm very much baked into Google. All my passwords are on there as well. So every device I use, that's my password manager. Even the notes, we use the drive, don't we? And so I start on my phone and then I pick it up on the laptop. So, yeah, it's excellent. It's really good to be able to see that.
Samsung are trying to do some of that stuff. If you go to the Microsoft store and search on the word Samsung, there is stuff in there you can do with Samsung. They are trying to bridge that gap, but in not in the same way as Google do, I don't think. So a lot of their apps, for example, you can get the Samsung Gallery app. So if you've got a Samsung phone, you can download the Gallery app on your computer, and it pretty much works in the same way as we've just been describing. But yeah, they're not all-encompassing in the same way, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, and you have to be careful in that Samsung store, right, Ted? Or it's going to serve you up some game ads, or you're having some problem.
No. This is in a Microsoft store, not in the Galaxy store. You go to your Microsoft store on your computer and search on the word Samsung, and you'll find a list of about 20 different Windows applications that Samsung provide. And I don't think many people know about it. Because Samsung are pushing people to use PhoneLink all the time, and yet they could be using some of these tools as well. So I do
love those websites, and any time you are wondering if you have an app, just type in the address, and it'll, like, I wanted to look in my contacts, so I just typed in contacts.google.com, and there it was. If you think it might be there, type it in. It probably is.
Yeah.
But cloud services for the win.
But not Hangouts. and not Wave.
Well, if it is, you got a scoop there.
Okay, the Wrap app is next, and down to Mr. Malcolm last week. He asked us to ask our guests to bring an app. We used to call it App of the Week, but we're going to now call it the App Rack. So App Wrap. So Scott, any app you want to bring?
Yeah, and I heard Malcolm, when I was listening to it, I heard him mention that and thought, well, I better come up with an app. So I did. and one of the apps I really like that I use quite often is called Music Speed Changer. And what this does, I think it's Android and iOS, and I believe there's a free and a paid version. I have the paid version. And I use it to take songs. You just feed a song into it, and it'll do things like, you could change the pitch, you could do track separation. I could give it a song, and it'll give me back the drum track, the keyboard track, the bass track, and the vocal track. And for me, what I use it for is typically, if I'm messing around and I want to cover a song, I'll go get that song, send it through Music Speed Changer, so it'll separate the tracks out, and then I'll just make a copy of it with no vocal track on it.
So this is
use it like as a karaoke song.
So this is not just for you creating music. You can just put any old music track into it and do it.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Just take any song, feed it into it, and it'll separate the tracks out for you.
Gosh.
And it's amazing. It works really well. It runs on my phone, and I can do it. I don't think I've ever had it not fail. And most of the songs that I might want to cover or do, I have to lower the key on them, and I just bring it into Music Speed Changer, and I'll make two or three different versions in different keys, and then I pick the one that works for me.
Brilliant.
And it really saves a lot of work. Rather than having to go learn it and play it just to see if you want to do it, I just take somebody else's, make a karaoke track out of it, mess around with it myself, and then when I decide what I'm going to do, then I'll do my own whole version of it or something. So for me, this is a great app, and when I bought it, it was a one-time cost. I don't think they've gone to a subscription. There is another app that does that by subscription, but this one may still have a free or one-off kind of charge to it. I don't know. It's been several years since I bought it, but I use it all the time, and I love it.
It says in-app purchases on the listing, but who knows? You don't remember how much you paid, I suppose.
I don't. It was probably $10 or less. I can't imagine it having been too much.
They've also, on their website, Single Minded Production, they've also got four other apps, which look quite interesting. I don't suppose you've explored any of the other ones, have you?
I have not. What are the names of them?
There's a metronome. There's a music editor. There's a bass tester. And there's a music speed changer classic, a music speed changer. So there's two sorts of, anyway, might be worth a look, see what they do.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look. I have not looked at any of those other ones, but I'll have to take a look, see if it's anything I can use. A lot of the stuff I can do in my studio software, but I find that this strips out the vocals better than some of my studio software does. And it's just an Android app, and it does a great job for what I need it for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much is the paid version?
Sorry?
How much is that paid version? You said you got the paid version, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it was some between $5 and $10. I don't think it was very much.
A one-off payment.
Yeah.
Oh, I like apps like that. Just a one-off.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, yeah, that's really cool.
Everyone from the MeWe, Scott's album's coming out just before Christmas.
All you have to do is ship me a phone from China.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's been a great chat. We've covered lots of ground there, Scott. So thanks very much. Do hang around if you've got time.
Yes.
We'll fly through some of the news items. I'm sure that you want to chip in with that as well. So, Joe, take us through it, will you?
Yeah, do you want me to take, so you've got the general related news, called it. You've got the iPhone 18 Pros reiterated to feature variable aperture. I quite like the idea of this. Might make me get another iPhone next year, maybe. but yeah, that's quite a nice feature.
Not likely.
Not likely. Let's tell the truth.
It looks like it goes three steps by going by the infographic, F1.59, F2.8, and F4. So some of the previous versions have had two steps. It looks like they're going to go with three here.
Yeah, that phone looks like the Nubia. That's in the picture though. That's a bit strange. You know the Nubia I recently put up. So it looks like the Starry Night Nubia, that picture.
You're right, it is. It's the Nubia, the Z70. So perhaps that doesn't relate to the iPhone then. Forget everything I just said.
Or maybe they're doing something similar to that. And it's a good feature if you can get that.
Okay.
I'd definitely like to see that. Well, we've got the new phones bit. We have touched on this one already, the GT8. And the GT8 Pro are coming out from Realme with the Snapdragon 8 Elite and the Ricoh-tuned 850 megapixel cameras. That's the exciting part. Did you see these camera modules? You can change them. I think you can only pick when you buy it, though. There's all camera modules you can get, like a square one, a circle one. I think it would be better if you could change it when you like, but apparently you can just decide when you buy it.
Right.
I don't know when this is going global, though. I haven't seen.
No one's saying yet. But no. The news is that it's actually been made official. Up to now, it's all been rumours and leaks and all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen some pictures from this. It does look like a nice device. Mm-hmm. There's a guy I know who's part of the community. He lives in Romania, though. It looks quite a tidy device. You get good value for money. With Realme as well. They're normally quite powerhouse as well. We've got the 8 Elite in there, so yeah, brilliant. Then the Nubia Z80 Ultra, which I've already mentioned, that's launching. When's the date confirmed for that? It's October the 22nd in China. Again, global launch, we don't know when that'll be.
No.
Did you see the Starry Night one?
Bit of
interesting.
Oh,
Sky Collector's Edition. Yeah.
That's an interesting look. Yeah.
Wow.
Not for me, but it's different, isn't it? I quite like the look of the other two, though, the black and the white ones.
That one's nice for me.
I've never seen a Nubia. You talk about phones not being in America, but Nubia, I've never seen one in the UK.
To be honest, I think I've only seen one or two, and that's, that makes me want to play with it even more, though, because I've never seen one. So
It's part of the ZTE group, isn't it?
Yeah. Because they're more renowned for their gaming.
I think Joe's in a generous mood, Ted. He'll probably import one for you if you want.
Yeah, that's the Starry one, the Van Gogh one. but it looks like an interesting device. It's got the camera looks really good on it. Should we go through the specs of that?
Yeah, briefly. I think it's leaning towards gaming, isn't it?
Well, no, their other devices do, but this one seems quite camera-centric as well. They keep their gaming features in there, but it's got quite a lot on the camera side because it's So you've got a 35mm main using a 1 over 1.3-inch sensor. So that's a decent-sized sensor, OmniVision 990 sensor. I don't know what that means, but the lens has got a... On the ultra-wide, it's got a 7P lens elements and coated with an IR filter. Can't speak properly tonight. It's great for a podcast, isn't it? so they're obviously... done things with the coating as well on the lenses, so they have spent some time on the cameras themselves, so it does seem quite camera centric. And the images they show always look great, but there's some images there that look really nice. I like the one with the little kid. Yeah, massive battery as well. This goes to what you said the other week, isn't it? We always talk about the cameras, but it's got other bits going on. So it's got 7,100 milliamp hour battery, 90 watt wired charging, which is quite decent. 144Hz OLED display, which again goes to the gaming side of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got quite an interesting. It's got an integrated under display selfie camera as well. They're normally quite poo, though, aren't they? But
yeah, up to now.
But yeah, maybe it'll be good, who knows. Moving on and to my beloved Honor and the 500 Pro. I've not looked at this yet, so the specs are leaked with a new telephoto camera. What are they saying with the telephoto?
I can't see how they're going to improve it. My 400 Pro is just great. I really like it. The only thing that I don't like is that it's not got an LTPO screen, and so they are less able to play with the always on display for me. But there's so little to complain about with the 400 Pro. I just can't see how they're going to improve it. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably my phone of the year for value for money. It's really, really great. Looking at this, it could well be the telephoto that's on the V5.
Right.
The 64-megapixel periscope telephoto, which that's what's on the V5. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was the same one.
Right.
I don't know, maybe not. But yeah, it looks exciting. Obviously, they're saying it's going to have the 8 Elite SoC. I doubt that, though. Because they had the, maybe it's this year's 8, last year's 8 Elite, maybe. This year's 8 Elite, rather.
Right.
Rather than the Gen 5. Yeah, that might actually make sense, actually, yeah. Because the 400 Pro's got the 8 Gen 4, isn't it? 8 Gen 3, sorry. Yeah, so that makes sense. So it'll have the 8 Elite, the this year's flagship. Next year.
I'll tell you how they can improve it by putting a ultrasonic fingerprint scanner on it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that though, because they want to keep the cost low, don't they? Because it's their upper mid-ranger,
right?
And they want to differentiate it from the 8 Pro as well.
Okay,
I'm guessing, but yeah, that would be nice if they gave us that.
Is it optical, the one that has now?
Yeah,
it's very good. It is very good, but ultrasonic is much better.
And the face unlock is, you know, it gets there before you get your finger near it anyway. The face unlock with that, whatever it is in there, 3D thing, is it, Joe? That works really well.
Yeah, it's even better on the 8 Pro, because the 400 Pro, obviously, when it's darker, it isn't as good. But it's still better than others, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Going on to the 8 series... that's launching in China now, isn't it? That's already launched. I'm not going to bore people with this too much because I'll probably talk about it quite a lot. It launched on the 15th. I'm quite excited to get hands on with one of these because what I like about it, Ted, is it's a little bit smaller than the 7 Pro.
Yes.
So I do find it quite cumbersome. Yeah. So that's quite not. That's a good thing for me.
They made the screen less wide, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the thing for me. I was about to say it's a little less wide. So, yeah, I think that'll be a nice touch because I like big phones, but I've got small hands, so I need something like in between. That's why the 400 Pro is quite nice actually as well, because it's a good size, but not too big. The OnePlus 15 global launch is announced for the 13th of November, or all but confirmed. I think a lot of YouTubers were out in Prague recently for OnePlus. So yeah, there's definitely on the cards. It looks like a really nice device. But the cameras are sort of downgraded. They're going back to their roots as being more about a fluid experience and fast and really high spec. So you've got 165 hertz BOE AMOLED display, a triple 50 megapixel rear cameras. But as I say, the sensors are downgraded, and a massive 7,300 milliamp power battery with 120 hertz wired and 50 hertz.
Yay.
50 wired, wireless rather, charging. Mm-hmm. And the colours look quite nice. I like that sandy look one pictured. I don't know if you've seen that where it's on the sand.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. On the OnePlus, that battery should last 5 days. I mean, they've already got the smooth experience a lot nailed down. So this downgrade in the cameras is kind of confusing to me, but I guess it's what they're focused on.
Do you know what it is? It's because Oppo are going to be the camera focused brand for them, and then OnePlus back to their roots of being about speed and gaming and experience. Because their software is very nice. So if you're not into the cameras as much, I mean, they're not going to be rubbish, I don't think, but they're
right.
It's just moved away from, because they haven't got the Hasselblad anymore, have they, on there?
Right.
I noticed as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that will suit me. I've been threatening to buy a OnePlus phone for a long time, and I did read somewhere that they, because of what they've done that you just described, they're lowering the price, although I don't know that there is a price yet, is there?
No, I haven't seen any pricing yet. Mm-hmm. I'll have to ask my friend to see if he knows anything, because he went out to China and he was actually on the stage for OnePlus.
So
I should ask him, see what he's saying, see if he'll leak anything to me.
Yep.
I don't see the screen size here. Is it? I imagine it's big. It's probably like close to 7 inches.
6.78 is the typical OnePlus screen size,
big.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's huge.
I'm imagining it will be the same as that. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it doesn't say here.
It'll be nice, though.
It does look a nice device.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on. This looks like a beast, this one. The Redmi K90 Pro Max debuts. This is what I know Ted's interested in, this for the speakers, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's got a Bose 2.1 channel speaker setup, which we've got to hear it. And a whacking great big battery and a Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5. And yeah, everything seems to have been thrown at this. You'll have to cover the camera bit. But yeah, the speakers for me are the thing that is just worth. Who knows what it's going to be, when it's going to arrive here, what it's going to be called. We don't tend to get the K series Redmis here. Well, they're called something else, aren't they? And I don't know, but yes, absolutely right. I do desperately want to see what they've done with those speakers.
Again, Redmi is one you get really good value for money for the phone. And I do like the way it's that little Bose circle next to the camera module.
Yeah, I'm a big Bose fan, and I do like that little logo next to the cameras there.
It looks smart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Again, it's a bit of a iPhone clone in design, isn't it? But Xiaomi's gone that route this year.
Is that like a blue denim on the back?
Yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Looks nice.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Mm. So watch this space on that one. Ted will be walking down the street playing his music out loud.
There's a suggestion of $599, I think, by the looks of it. It depends what happens with taxes, but it doesn't look as though you're quite right. It might be quite good value for money into the bargain.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, hello Moto again.
Hello Moto.
I did see this, the patent for hints that Razer are going to have a new foldable design. Is this what I saw?
Yeah, the three vertical cameras on the back. Nothing's known, really. There was a patent listed, and so they put two and two together and got a result of this is the next flip phone, but it might not be. It might be just, I mean, these companies put hundreds of patents in the mix as they go forward. And, yeah, they've got a diagram here of three vertical cameras on the back. And I'm not sure that this is going to be a thing, because they're going to be right in the way, really, unless they're going to do something with the right hand, the rest of the front of the flip, you know, the screen. I don't quite buy it yet, but we'll have to see.
So I heard rumours about an actual Moto Fold as well, which I thought this was at first.
Okay.
But I think the three cameras would be nice, though, because I mentioned it last week, didn't I, that they took the telephoto away to have the ultra-wide, which I agree with. I can see why they did it. But it'd be nice if we did have the telephoto as well.
Yep.
And it has on the ultra. Because obviously, it would be good to differentiate the normal Razor to the Razor Ultra.
Yep.
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens with that.
Sure.
Do you want to go through the software news?
Software news, very quickly, is the iOS release 26.1 beta, for anyone that's on the beta channel, lets you tone down the liquid glass effect. So if you click through on the link to that, you'll see that there's some diagrams of it being less kind of see-through than it was when they first launched it. So that's interesting. There was a bit of chaos this week about the Android 16 QPR2 beta 3.1 role. Rolling out to Pixels. I snatched on my Pixel 9 as soon as it came out, and I got it. By the time I got my Pixel Fold in the mix, it wouldn't let me have it. And then a couple of days later, they've released a brand new version for everyone, which is beta 3.1, and it's only bug fixes. I don't know why we're wasting time talking about it, but anyway, check it out, because you might get two updates going on with that. And the last thing I wanted to just mention was that I saw an article in the in Android Authority, which was suggesting that Pixel, Google are going to make the always-on display so-called smarter to save battery. And we know what that's going to mean. It means that they're going to make it even less bright than it is. I don't know what you think, Scott, about the always-on display, if you use it. But my view of the Pixel phone is that in some light, it works okay, it's fine. If it's underneath a lamp or something, it's fine, you can see it. But if you've got it in some sort of subdued lighting, I just can't see it. Typically, it's on a stand when I'm watching the television in the evening, and I look at it, and I cannot see it in subdued lighting. And I think that they're going to make it worse by doing this, so I hope they don't. Any thoughts?
Well, they're saying it's going to be smart in the sense that it will sense when you're looking at the phone and when it's you're asleep, when the user is asleep. But let's see how well that works, eh?
Is it really going to sense you're looking at the phone? And like for Ted, if you're sitting, you know, several feet away from the phone, is it really going to know you're looking at it? I don't know. I like to see how they're going to make that work. I don't use the always-on display on my phone, so okay. It doesn't affect me. But I know you use it a lot, Ted. You swear by it. And if it's not going to work well for you, I know it's just going to be a source of frustration.
This is exactly what OnePlus have done. OnePlus always on display is not always on.
That's the thing.
And I have scoured the Reddit support columns. I've scoured the OnePlus own columns. And everyone is saying the same thing. They're all just saying that it's that in the settings, there is a setting that says always, always on, and you tick it and it just doesn't do it. When it thinks you're not using it, when it's sat on my stand while I'm watching the television in subdued light, it goes off. When I wake up in the morning wanting it to be a bedside clock with the time on it, when I wake up at any point in the night, it's not on. You've got to touch it to wake it up. So what they're suggesting is that they should be renaming it in the settings from AOD to SOD, which is sometimes on display.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that Google don't do anything like OnePlus has done, because that's so annoying. And it moves me further towards getting a third-party solution, which I really don't want to do, because they tend to drain the battery. I haven't yet found one that is not battery intensive.
I can see why they're doing it, because of that reason. Just try and save battery, but yeah.
But the battery on my Pixel phone is brilliant. Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, and I think people that use an always on display realize there's going to be some battery hit to it, and they're willing to put up with that. Yes, make it as efficient as you can, but if it's not going to be on all the time, it's not an always on display. It's a sometimes on, and it's probably not going to be on when you want it there.
It's a sod.
Yeah, a sod indeed. That's the thing, we like Android devices for our choices, and then when they take the choices away, that's when it gets really frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm afraid that Android is going further that way. Anyway, Joe, what's in Joe's throes? Anything to note?
Not too much. I'm not going to take too much time because I've been quite busy at work, so I've not done much tinkering. In fact, I've not even made any content for 2 weeks, which is really bad. So, yeah, I need to change that this week. Well, I did hit 400 subs, which I'm quite pleased with.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Yeah. My sim is still in the V5. I accidentally left it at work today, though, stupidly, and I'm off tomorrow. So I will be playing with the Moto tomorrow, and I'm going to find it hard to move it out of there, I really think. So, but I do think I need to do it. I think I'm going to put it in the Moto Razr for at least a month, I think.
Right.
So then I can get a real feel for it. And I think if with my secondary sim in it, I'm not going to get that. So yeah, I'm going to force my hand, swap the sims around and spend a month with it at least.
Cool.
And thanks again for sending it over, Ted, because after getting that dud first time round, I was a bit upset at first, but yeah.
Be interesting to see what your findings are with it. As I said, I felt as though there wasn't enough different about it to the 50 I have and the 50 Ultra that I had before the 50. It just didn't feel as though it was that, apart from a hardware AI button. Frankly, the AI stuff on all of these phones is just a bit something and nothing. So I don't quite get that. I've been playing with the Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus off and on, but I think I've kind of talked quite a bit. We've spoken about the nail bar and the stuff that they're doing cleverly, so we won't deep dive into that. We're pressing on with time. I'm also trying to make the Fairphone 5 work. Well, again, we'll come back to that, because the Fairphone 5 is much less buggy now than it was when I first got it a few weeks ago. It's been updated quite a lot now, and it's worth kind of looking at again. No always on display, of course, but there you go. You can't have everything. And there's no Qi charging unless you put a third party coil in the back. Let's move on to photo of the month. The photo of the month winner for the September poll in PSC photos was Chris Clayton, with his shot Morning Sheep, which he took on a OnePlus Open. It's all a bit OnePlusy today, isn't it? so, yeah, a lovely photograph, really, of a couple of sheep and a tree and a river or pond and a real good skyscape going on. So it's no wonder it won it. But a special mention also to Ian Bundy with his shot Morning Waves, which gave Chris a real close run for his money. He took that on Honor Magic V3. I think that the message here is that Camera Creations Group is where it's at. So the two people at the top of this are both in the Camera Creations, and they create great photographs with whatever hardware they've got, be it phone or camera. Scott, any comments on either of those two?
I love them both, but I'm a sucker for a good reflection pick, and the one that Chris took, I love the reflections, and it looks like the tree reflects, the sheep reflect, but you can see, I guess that's birds, I'm not sure, in the water I can see, but I can't see them in the sky, so I don't know if he took them out or if they're just too high, they were above the picture, but I do like that one. I really love the waves. I like the fact that it's in black and white. That looks good to me as well. Yeah, great photos.
Yeah.
The two of them always come up with really good stuff.
Yeah. Joe?
Yeah, they're both very talented. I'm actually surprised that Chris didn't take them bits out, because he's very particular, isn't he, as we've found out on the Camera Creations podcast. But yeah, they're both lovely shots. I'm glad there was no cows, because I've heard that he's quite scared of cows.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
He had another one of these pictures in the Camera Creations group where there was more sheep and a more centralized view of this thing. So anyone that wants to have a look at more of this kind of thing, then head across to our Camera Creations group via tedsalmon.com. You'll find links all over the place to get there. You'll be very welcome to join us. Classifieds group is where some select individuals buy and sell stuff from each other. If you want to join in with that, we do try and protect the membership, and we don't just let anyone in. So email me and we'll talk about that. I picked out Steve Bradshaw's TCL 50 Pro Next Paper 5G for £120. When I bought mine, it was £270, I think, and it was an absolute bargain then. But £120, it's great. It's a lovely phone to use. It's got a gorgeous display on it, which is, it's not e-ink, but it's a soft matte kind of papery feel to it, and it's really, really nice. You know, these ones are getting handed around the group, I think, and if you're interested in trying it out, then give it a go. At that price, you can't go wrong. Did you pick something, Joe?
Yeah, I knew you'd pick that one, so I didn't pick that. although it's very tempting. although my PS4 Pro is gathering dust the last 5 years, I wouldn't mind Chris Bates's PS5 at £375, but I'll pick a phone, and I'll take the Paul's Waggetts V3 listed at £575. What a great price for a flagship folder. I can't believe that's still in there, to be honest.
You were going to buy it for me, weren't you?
Yeah, for Christmas.
And then we'll send it across the pond to you know, I can't. North Carolina, that was it, wasn't it? I was trying to remember where it was.
Yes, North Carolina, yes.
But anyway, yeah, sorry you can't join in very practically with our classifieds group, Scott, being across there, but it would be a bit tricky, I guess, for people outside of the UK. Yeah. Some people from Scandinavia and Ireland and Europe do join in, but the vast majority, of course, is right here in Blighty.
Yep.
Thanks ever so much for joining us. It's been great fun and a right blast, and good to have you back on the show. Hopefully we can do it again sometime soon. Have you enjoyed yourself?
I have. It's been my pleasure. I appreciate you having me on here. I enjoyed it. So it's been great talking to two of you.
Great. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. The MeWe group is where we kind of scoop up stuff and interesting stuff to talk on the show often. So do go and head across there. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And Joe, you can do the same at paypal.me/Hickey85. Otherwise, all you need to know will be at TedSalmon.com. The show notes will be out for this in your podcatcher with links to all the stuff we've been talking about. And we'll catch you in a fortnight's time or a week's time if there's enough to talk about in some time in the future. But for now, it's goodbye.
Yeah, just quickly, I wanted to say thanks to Jim Fowle. He's going to send me the Klix keyboard for this motor as well. So that's going to go towards my testing. So cool. Looking forward to that.
Great, Jim. Well, thank you, Jim.
And yeah, goodbye.
Thanks, bye.